The title that I was given was Jesus the Migrant. It's a strange title for him, really, isn't it? It's not something that, not a way we usually think of Jesus. But Matthew makes it clear that the situation around his birth was a bit tense and could even be called scary. Bob is going to read what Matthew wrote, and then we'll watch a short video clip.
Yeah, this is Matthew.
It's all right, it's just come through.
Okay, this is Matthew 2 and verse 19, the four verses. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
Thank you, Bob.
Quick, we need to go.
Your family are forced to leave your home right now and move far away. What will you do? Sadly, this has happened many times in human history. One of the oldest stories in the world tells how the Hebrews fled slavery in Egypt and crossed the desert to the Promised Land. Perhaps your parents or grandparents moved from another country in search of safety or a better life. But today, more people than ever before are forced to flee from one country to another seeking safety or refuge. Refugees' journeys are often dangerous. Many have to travel through extreme heat or cold with little food and little protection. Every minute, 30 people are forced from their homes. This is happening in many countries all around the world. The news can make us think that most people on the move are heading for Britain. This is not true. Most refugees travel to countries near their own and are helped by communities that are already living in poverty. People have had to leave their homes for many different reasons, like fighting, hunger, poverty, or disasters. And each person has a different story. The global refugee crisis can seem too huge to be able to do anything about it. But the church is global too. If everyone plays their part, it can make a huge difference. That's why Pope Francis says, "Christ asks us to welcome our brother and sister migrants and refugees with arms wide open." So,
I felt it said things in a nice way that we could understand, and it would be helpful. So, back to Joseph and Mary. Joseph had a dream. Well, in fact, Joseph had lots of dreams, four altogether. He was obviously the strong, silent type. We have no record of anything he said, but when God told him to do something, he did it. He always obeyed God, who had chosen a very good father, earthly father, for his son Jesus. Now I need a map. This is too sensitive. Wait a minute, I'll get there. Right. Maria kindly produced this map for me, showing the journeys of Jesus. We know he was born in Bethlehem, but then he left Bethlehem and went down into Egypt because of the threat that Herod was looking for him. We don't know where he stayed in Egypt, but it seems that at the time there were quite a community of Jews there. So I hope that he found friendly people Maybe some of those Jews helped him and Mary to find a place to live and a place to work. He then returned, to Nazareth, where they lived. Other people are fleeing today. People are still having to leave their homes. These very familiar pictures show migrants trying to cross the English Channel. We've seen a lot of them in recent years. It's very risky. Between Calais and Dover, where the channel is narrowest, there are busy shipping routes. If the weather is bad, small boats can easily overturn. When they do arrive in Dover, if they do, they are taken to holding areas where they have medical checks and before being moved on towards other towns and cities. I thought it might be a good idea to have a few definitions here. We talk about migrants and refugees and also about asylum seekers. So what is the difference? Well, you can read it yourselves, and I'm sure, but there is no official definition of a migrant. It's generally accepted to be a person who has to leave their home and even their country to seek a safe place to live. In fact, when Bob and I left Exeter to go to France, we could probably have been called migrants, seeking a safer place. Not that Exeter is dangerous, I don't think. It was very easy when we were part of the EU. Now we would need a work permit. Okay. Being forced to cross a border can make you a refugee. But refugee status depends on the host country. Some of them are more welcoming than others. In 2020, there are around 82 million refugees in the world. Syrians, obviously, we knew about that. But Venezuelans, the country is in a mess. Sudanese, war for years. Afghans, people from Myanmar, Rohingya Muslims in a Buddhist country being persecuted, and other smaller groups. Asylum seekers, there's a political element. They've left their home for a political reason, and they're seeking asylum in another country. The UN say that around 1 million people a year demand asylum. But let's go back to Jesus and God's people. I think that actually God's people have always been migrants. Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from the Lord Jesus Christ from there. In Hebrews, the author says, we have no enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. That sounds like people who are on the move. And in the Old Testament, we have Abraham, who left Ur of the Chaldeans, not knowing where God would take him. Jacob, who went down into Egypt because of a famine in Canaan. David, who fled Saul, who was trying to kill him. Well, very sensible of David to flee, I think. The northern kingdom was deported by the Assyrians. And then Jerusalem was exiled by the Babylonians a few years later. Matthew says that this is also true for God's only beloved Son, Jesus the migrant, who was called out of Egypt. A phrase which would first have been applied, obviously, to the Exodus with Moses, but now is true for God's only begotten Son, who identifies so totally with us. I think one of the main reasons I was asked about this was because in Belgium, where we were before we came back here, we actually had contact with a number of refugees through a group in the church called Welcome. Here are two of our Afghan friends. They also have three children, of whom I don't have pictures, unfortunately. But the eldest one, who is a girl, is now about 15 or 16, and she loves music and dancing and wants to be a pop star. Their two boys are a bit younger, and they're mad about football. And while we were there, Bob was able to help them join a club with Anderlecht football team, which some of you may have heard of, quite a good team. As you can see from the slide, she was a gynecologist, he was a consultant gastroenterologist. That is a very difficult word to say. They were highly skilled and respected people in Afghanistan. As well as his hospital work, my friend ran a free medical clinic for poor people, funded by an American charity. The Taliban didn't like that and ordered him to stop working for the Americans. He replied that he was working for his own people and the Americans were helping him to work. The Taliban threatened him again and he realized that he and his family were in danger. Reluctantly, they decided they had to leave the country. They walked across the mountains to escape. Eventually, they arrived in Belgium and obtained political asylum. But they didn't speak French or Dutch, which are the two languages in Belgium, and so they were never really able to work, even with all their qualifications, except do some voluntary work. They have totally lost their status and their place in society. Now, they are just refugees. It's amazing how cheerful and generous they remain, and my friend Najib is still supporting orphans in Afghanistan. He has a way of getting money through, and we and other people in the church from Belgium are giving him money to feed orphans in Afghanistan. Another family were friends from Syria. This mother and daughter left Syria in 2015, just when the country was descending into civil war. They came to Belgium where they were granted asylum. Unfortunately, you'll see from the slide that other members of the family couldn't come with them. But after his father's death, and with help, considerable help, I think, from people in the church, the son did eventually get a visa and joined them. But waiting was hard for the family. The daughter learnt French very quickly, but her mother has had a lot more difficulty and still only has a few phrases. I think my friend is very beautiful. And this story does have a bit of a happy ending. In their culture, marriages are often, usually, arranged by the family. My friend married a distant cousin who works as an engineer in Germany. I was invited to the wedding reception, but Bob couldn't come. No men. The wedding reception was for the women to let their hair down, literally. Syrian women keep their hair covered all the time. In fact, my friend's husband didn't know the colour of her hair until the day they got married. She hadn't let him even have a peep. And in this reception, they took their headscarves off and they danced and they sang and they had a wonderful time for about 3 hours. But it was really quite something to be there. A year later, they had a baby, a little baby boy. He was about a week or 10 days old in that picture. As you can imagine, the grandmother was delighted. Anyway, I better move on. So what should our response to refugees be? Should we be fearful of them? They look different. They behave differently. They don't speak our language. Is that a reason to be fearful of them? Or should we try and reach out? Should we be hostile? Some people are. They say, will they take our jobs? Where will they live? The NHS is already overburdened. Some people just ignore them and try and pretend it's not happening, which is very hurtful. If it's ever happened to you, you know. Other people are interested in learning about their country and their culture, which is always a good way to their hearts. Some people welcome them warmly. There are several volunteer organisations in Exeter working to look after refugees. I have got some pictures here on the next slide. In fact, there seem to be so many people who are keen to work with refugees that when I asked if I could help, they didn't have any space for me. Oops. Anyway, Exeter has obviously got a heart to welcome people, which is great. Sorry, I will go back just to my previous slide for a moment. But the interest in their culture is good, and welcoming them is the best. But I think the real question is, what would Jesus do for refugees? I think we can guess he would welcome them, because he knows what it's like to be a migrant. He's lived among us. And he came to earth to live amongst us. He knows what life on earth is like. He has experienced it. He died so that we could become children of God. Now he wants us to live as children of God and serve others as he did. We're made in his image. May we recognize his image in those around us, whatever the color of their skin or the language they speak. That's my last slide, but I'd like to finish with a prayer for refugees, which Naomi is going to read for us. Okay, Naomi? If you're at the tables, you can see this prayer. It's on the page. One of the pages there.
Jesus, you know how it feels to leave your home and family, to carry nothing with you, to travel as a stranger. Help all refugees far from home, driven out by war and hunger. Lead them out safely on. Inspire us to show your love and a true welcome. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Naomi.